Breaking. And that was Breaking My Heart, in parentheses, Pretty Brown Eyes, by the Minnesota Legends, Mint Condition. Good evening, listeners in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, in Minneapolis, where we're located, where I live, where I love St. Paul, where I've spent a lot of time. And around the world at KFAI.org. We are non-commercial, community-powered radio. This is the second broadcast of the radio show, I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. I know last week I had told you all that this broadcast would be focused on childhood in Minneapolis, but I forgot that today is Mother's Day within the United States. So I switched things around. I pivoted because today's a big day. There's a lot of feelings on this day. It means a lot to a lot of people. It brings up a lot of emotions for a lot of people. I am people. So with that in mind, that's what we're focused on today. Personally, I am estranged from my biological mother. And I'm also in some ways estranged from my grandmother as well, and a variety of other matriarchal figures that are alive in my family. So I am holding space on the air today for people, again, in Minneapolis and St. Paul and around the world who feel the same. But of course, in my life, I can say that I know many people who are mothering and who are parenting and who are, I think, doing an amazing job raising their children, raising their pets, raising their siblings, raising and supporting others who are raising the people, the living beings around them, the future. And we're going to give shout outs to all of these people as well, because we know that multiple things can exist at the same time. Today, my hope is that by the time you're done listening, for those of you who are estranged like me, you can continue to hold space for the myriad feelings that rise about your own personal relationships, and also uplift the hope that you may be seeing in your own lives for people who you are seeing are receiving the care that you were worthy of when you were younger. Hopefully you have people in your life who are able to provide you with that care. For those of you who have strong relationships with your mothers, who are able to then give that love to other people in your life, I hope that you are reveling in that and are thankful for that and are able to be strong support systems for those in your life that don't. So, yes, our musical breaks this broadcast will be featuring songs that I grew up with during Mother's Day that are present within the Black American tradition and throughout the Black diaspora globally. Some of these songs, it's not a reflection of my relationship with my mother, or it may not be a reflection of your relationship with your mother, but it, at least these songs, at least for me, reflected where I was at in my life, and I'll be providing more of those stories. The purpose of this show is just as much about what we're experiencing in the Twin Cities, as much as it is also me sharing about a little bit about who I am, a little bit of what I'm thinking and feeling, and hopefully you all can find that you relate. And if you can't, hopefully you learned something new and interesting. Maybe you laughed, maybe you rolled your eyes, but that's okay. But that's okay. So with that, I wanted to transition to our first song. It's called A Song for Mama by the New Jack Swing band, all Black band, Boys to Men. I definitely sang this song on Mother's Day with the youth choir at Park Avenue United Methodist Church. This was during a time in my life when I lived with my immediate family, my biological family. I was highly encouraged, pushed to attend church. At that time, I did identify as a Christian. I no longer identify as a Christian. I no longer
go to church, but at that time, that's what I was doing. I was actively involved in so many different activities in church to keep myself busy. One of them was the choir, and this song definitely moved everybody. It was really beautiful. I remember my body just filled up with a lot of joy, and it was just really beautiful to see, you know, my peers, my friends, who my loved ones at the time, also just like give their all to this song. And I remember our choir director Marshall was like, this is the song we're gonna sing. I remember our other choir director Sandy was like, y'all are gonna get this right no matter what. And I remember we were just in our robes and it was just that time to go, and we did it. And I definitely remember like the congregation feeling really moved. So if for nothing else, again, the musicality, their voices, absolutely stunning. And if you have any memories to this song, feel free to call the hotline. Feel free to throw it up in the Discord. Move your body, whatever you see fit. And again, that was A Song for Mama by the band Boys to Men. A Song for Mama. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. We are non-commercial, community-powered radio. I go by the name of Musana's Musings, and you are listening to I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday, our Mother's Day broadcast. Thank you for walking with me on this journey. Also, throughout this broadcast, we'll be taking time to honor mothers globally who are going through a variety of crises that we should hold close in our hearts. The first group of mothers that I wanted to honor in this space are mothers and their children who are currently held captive in ICE detention centers around the United States. Of course, living in Minneapolis and St. Paul, we know all too well the horrors and crises of ICE being present, both when Operation Metro Surge started December 1st of last year, 2025, but also when ICE was present well before that, earlier in 2025, plotting, trying to like figure out how they were going to attack us, make our lives miserable, put us in danger, put our children, our family, our loved ones in danger. So again, we continue that advocacy, we continue that care, and we continue to think of them and advocate on their behalf. Throughout this broadcast, my thought was that I would think about ways that we as a society envision motherhood. So instead of focusing solely on the individual person, I wanted to think about archetypes and concepts that can allow us all to take a step back and give reverence, maybe take a second look and just open up our hearts to other ways in which the energy or concept of mothering shows up in our lives. The first concept will be Earth as a mother. The second will be ancestral mothers. And the last will be community mothers. So I I took some time today to do some research and understand where the term Mother Earth came from. I remember as a child, I think first really hearing it in elementary school, specifically around Earth Day. And I remember the schools that I went to, they would always gather us in assemblies and we'd always have a speaker, and that speaker would come in and like share insight about the job that they did. Usually they were from like maybe the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, or in some way they would do a job where they're spending a lot of time outside, maybe collecting samples, studying animals and plants. And they would, you know, talk to us about like what they had seen, talk to us about how the environment was in danger, talk to us about how we could save the planet. And of course, we're in second grade, so this is the early 2000s. It's reduce, it's reuse, it's recycle, it's make sure to throw away all your trash. It's, you know, make sure that you are leaving your campsite and everything is even better than the way that you found it. And of course, now as I've gotten older, as I'm in my early 30s, like we're thinking about the toll that data centers are having on the environment. We're thinking about the toll of farming practices, golf courses, national armies, oil spills. And I think it's just been fascinating to reflect on how top of mind it felt for me as a child, and how I think as I've gotten older, it's almost as if I've been further and further removed. I'm thankful that I've always, I think, been a part of organizations, institutions, environments that like valued and cared for the quality of the earth and honored what the earth had been given. But within the context, it's like that organization did, but then within the context of like maybe the city, the state, the town, it was unclear how much we could do, you know, as individual citizens, as groups of people. So I just wanted to take time to honor like where, like the planet in which we live, the planet that gives us the oxygen that we breathe, the food that we eat, and allows us to coexist with one another. I learned that the term Mother Earth essentially summarizes the life-giving and nurturing aspects of Earth embodied in the form of a mother or a deity. I don't really like assign a gender to Earth anymore. I think when I was younger, I definitely would, like, I remember, like, seeing the visuals of, like, a woman with a green face and long hair. The tendrils would all be, like, vines with leaves, and the lips would be, like, red, like, stained with the berries. But now it's just, like, it's an amorph- it's just an amorphous, like, being or figure donning, like, whatever, I guess, climate or whatever pieces of nature that I see or I'm thinking about in the moment, but still showing that care and that thought for all of the organisms alive and not alive that reside here, that live here. So I wanted to read a couple of poems that I think embody and just talk about, like, what it means to live on Earth, to be on Earth. I'm extremely excited to read Earth Song by Langston Hughes. He's one of my favorite poets of all time. I will always be reading from him. So the first poem is going to be Earth Song. It's an Earth Song, and I've been waiting long for an Earth Song. It's a spring song, and I've been waiting long for a spring song. Strong as the shoots of a new plant, strong as the bursting of new buds, strong as the coming of the first child from its mother's womb, it's an earth song, a body song, a spring song. I have been waiting long for the spring song. I'm going to read that one more time because that really just gave me a smile and had me feeling empowered. An earth song by Langston Hughes. It's an earth song, and I've been waiting long for an earth song. It's a spring song, and I've been waiting long for a spring song. Strong as the shoots of a new plant, strong as the bursting of new buds, strong as the coming of the first child from its mother's womb. It's an earth song, a body song, a spring song. And I've been waiting long for this spring song. Of course, for our friends over the world, on the Southern Hemisphere, it's winter, so do with this what you will, but for those of us in Minnesota, we know it's been one of the longest winters. And so knowing that we're seeing, you know, the plants revitalizing, we're able to get outside more, we're able to, you know, see the sunset later over the lakes. It's just so soothing. It's just so nice to, like, feel the sun on your skin, to just be able to take that morning run and not see your breath. It's rejuvenating and revitalizing. And I think, at least for me, it, like, this is definitely one of those moments where I enjoy being on Earth, living on Earth. When I think about Earth as a mother, Earth as a nurturing figure, I think about the times when I was a young child, I would want to leave my house all the time because home was a place for me that didn't feel safe. It did not feel nurturing. It did not feel warm. I never felt as though I could really rest or regulate my body on my own time. And so I would leave any chance I could get, and I would just go to wherever we were living, because we moved a lot, I would always try to find a local park or a local, so like a local park, and I would like find my spot and usually be right next to either a pond or like a river, a brook, something really small. And I would like nestle right within like some reeds or some like a nice little patch of grass or a couple of bushes. And I would just sit and I would read and I'd listen to the cicadas and the grasshoppers and the birds. And I would just sit for hours and just watch time pass, and I'd be barefoot, so my feet would be digging into the ground, and I'd just be like touching everything and just asking questions. And I would just give, it would just help me like release the tension, release the stress. I would leave that spot like as soon as it was dark outside and I couldn't write anymore, feeling lighter, with my brain decluttered, feeling as though I was able to focus, and just feeling so much more connected to the earth around me. And I felt in those moments, like, really, truly just, like, cared for, like, there really was a place for me. And so I hope that perhaps you all are going out into nature as well, if it's safe, if it's possible, to find that comfort and place for you. The next poem that I wanted to read is Earth is a Living Thing by Lucille Clifton, another poet that I genuinely enjoy. Earth is a Living Thing by Lucille Clifton is a black shambling bear ruffling its wild back and tossing mountains into the sea.
is a black hawk circling the burying ground, circling the bones, pickled clean and discarded. Is a fish black blind in the belly of water? Is a diamond blind in the black belly of coal? Is a black and living thing is a favorite child of the universe, feeling her rolling her hand in its kinky hair, feel her brushing it clean. One more time. The earth is a living thing, is a black shambling bear ruffling its wild back and tossing mountains into the sea, is a black hawk circling the burying ground, circling the bones, pickled clean and discarded, is a fish black blind in the belly of water, is a diamond blind in the black belly of coal, is a black and living thing, is a favorite child of the universe, feel her rolling her hand in its kinky hair, feel her brushing it clean. This poem to me, I just loved how it spoke to the cycles of life, the cycle of death, and also like really like just positioning living things on earth as just as part, like we're all part of the bigger equation. We're all moving in our own right, and we all have a place in this moment. And I think in that way, it's a family that I'm thankful to be a part of. It's a family that I do sometimes question my place and my role in, but I'm not always, I don't know if I'm always fighting it in the same way. I think it's really beautiful that we have just like so many opportunities to be in nature in the state of Minnesota. I'm just thinking about us being the birthplace of the Mississippi River. Shout out Itasca State Park. We've got 10,000 lakes. We've got the boundary waters. We've got the forest. So please, please, please get outside if you can. And this last poem is about walking at night. And I do think that I've always been thankful to feel safe at night, even when I've been alone, even when it's been dark, whether it's by the light of the moon, whether it's having my eyes adjust and not feeling as stimulated as I was during the day. I think that there's a peace and a safety there that sometimes in my own home in the night, I didn't necessarily feel either. So I wanted to have the author of this poem, You Must Walk This Lonesome, Evie Shockley, read it for us. So without further ado, this is Evie Shockley reading You Must Walk This Lonesome live at my alma mater, Bowdoin College, in February of 2008.
Just a quick last poem to send us on our way on a note of healing. That's what I usually think of with this poem. This is called You Must Walk This Lonesome. It's a poem that takes shape. I mean, it's a prose poem, so in one sense it doesn't have that kind of a shape, but it takes its structure from borrowed lines and sort of modified lines from spirituals and hymns. You must walk this lonesome. Just a quick last poem to send us on our way on a note of healing. That's what I usually think of with this poem. This is called You Must Walk This Lonesome. It's a poem that takes shape. I mean, it's a prose poem, so in one sense it doesn't have that kind of a shape, but it takes its structure from borrowed lines and sort of modified lines from spirituals and hymns. You must walk this lonesome. And sort of modified lines from spirituals and hymns. You must walk this lonesome.
Alrighty, y'all, my apologies. The recording doesn't seem to be working, so I will read this poem out loud for y'all. You must walk this lonesome. Say hello to moon, leads you into trees as thick as folk on Easter pews, dark but venture, Through amazing was blind, but now fireflies glittering, dangling from evergreens like Christmas oracles. Soon you meet the riverbank down by the riverside. Water baptizes your feet. Moon bursts back in low yellow, swing low, sweet chariot of cheese shines on the river cup hands and sip what never saw. Inside a piece, be still. Mix in your tears, moon distills distress like yours so nobody knows the trouble it causes. Pull up a log and sit until your empty is full. You're straight as wool, your death is Yule moonshine. We'll do that barter with you. What you got for what you need, draw from the river like it is well with my soul. O moon, you croon, and home you go. And that concludes our section of Earth as Mother. We're going to transition into our music break with Nobody Knows Me Like the Piano by Sampha. And then we'll head into the concept of ancestral mother.
Mother's home. You will show me I had something. Some people call it soul. And you drive top the sky. Oh, you when I was 3 years old. No one knows me like the piano in my mother's home. Couldn't cope. They said that is her time. No, 'tis inside. I kept the feelings close.
For those of you who just tuned in, that was No One Knows Me Like the Piano
by the British artist Sampha. You are listening to KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Thank you so much for being here this evening with me. Again, I go by the name of Musana's Musings. This show is called I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. And this is the Mother's Day broadcast. We are going to jump into our next set of archetypes and concepts of mothering. And for the sake of time, since I've got to head out by 8 p.m., we're going to blend the next two, ancestral mothers and community mothers. So to lead us into this next blended set, I wanted to read you all a passage from the book Black Liturgies from one of my new favorite authors, Cole Arthur Riley. She's absolutely amazing. She's a Black woman with disabilities, grew up in a religious household, no longer directly religious, but is trying to write and find life's meaning and encourage people through the written word with an understanding, with her spiritual background and also being in communication with others. And so she specifically has a chapter in her book, again, Black Liturgies, on Mother's Day. So I just wanted to read out a bit of a prayer that she had. So bear with me here. God, our mother, we thank you for grounding your character in the tenderness, protection, and even sorrow of a mother. To know that no human experience, mother or child, is far from you gives us permission to uncover the particularities of how we were made to love and be loved. On this day, we're reminded that we do not begin with ourselves. Our beauty, our pain, do not exist in a vacuum, but are tethered to those who've come before us. We pray for the mothers who have protected us, who are weary, who have stayed, who have left, who are grieving, who are proud. Understanding that the story of what it means to be a mother is not singular. And as children, would you remind us that it is okay to lament the ways we have not been loved well, while also celebrating the miracle and mystery of those who loved us fiercely? We are made of more than us. Help us to behold it. We are made of more than us. Help us to behold it. As I was reflecting on this broadcast and what I wanted to speak about, I thought it made a lot of sense to remind you all to just reflect on the mothers in your lineage. If you know of them, if you know people in your life that know of them, honor the mothers in your lineage. Learn from the mothers in your lineage, those that did things that you admire, that you're proud of, that align with your morals and values, and even learning from those that you're not proud of, that whose actions did not align with your morals and values, so you know how to live differently in the future. Get to know their names, their hobbies, their passions. Visit the places they loved. Visit the people that knew them. Visit their graves if you know where they are and if it's possible to do so. Hold the items they held, sing their songs, and think of them fondly if it is safe to do so and if it makes sense to do so. For me personally, I've been thinking about my ancestors who've passed away, and I've been learning about my great grandmother, whose name I believe is Brenda, but I cannot recall for sure. And I learned from one of my siblings that I'm very close to, actually my two siblings that I still talk to that I'm close to, that she was an herbalist, and she was born and raised in Uganda, where my lineage is from, died in Uganda. And my mother, before my mother moved to the United States, got to spend time with her, and so did her other siblings. And even though at the time Christianity had already been introduced to Uganda through the British, through missionaries, and at that time most people were claiming to be Christians, my grandmother was keeping herbal Ugandan traditional practices alive in that way. Of course, I never got to meet her. I've never seen a photo of her, but she is definitely somebody that I'm thinking about, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that there are fond, like, that my mother and her siblings had fond memories of the matriarch, of a matriarchal figure in their lives. I think that that's important and beautiful to see. And I hope that in my lifetime, I get to continue to know more about her. I'm also thinking of ancestors within the Black American tradition, within the Black diaspora globally, that definitely have inspired me, that definitely have opened up my heart and mind to what is possible, and remind me that the fight continues, that the revolution continues, and also remind me that it is possible for me to do many, many things, and any of my actions and thoughts, like, should I will it, should I want them to, should I work in community with others, can make my world a better place. There's a couple of folks in Minnesota that I really wanted to honor today. I wanted to honor the activist Nellie Stone Johnson, who I learned was a key figure in starting the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, and also was a civil rights activist. And she also just got her statue put up, not just, but got a statue put up in St. Paul, at the state capitol in 2022. And she's the first woman to have a statue on the Capitol grounds. So I just want to take the time to honor her, say her name. I wanted to honor Josie R. Johnson. She is still alive. The premier iconic civil rights activist in the state of Minnesota. Also an amazing academic. Also has a leadership program named after her at the African American Leadership Forum. So again, I just wanted to say her name and honor her, give her flowers while she's still alive. I'm thinking about a woman who was a civil rights and community advocate on the south side of Minneapolis named Ernestine Belton. I wasn't able to find a ton of information on her specifically, like as in books and whatnot, but I was able to find some articles that she was referenced in of key community leaders who were related to her, and a playground that's in my neighborhood is named after her. And it's just really beautiful to be able to see that playground, to physically see her name and know that her legacy is honored and remembered. I happen to know one of her family members very closely. He impacted my life. And so it's just beautiful to know that her inspiration, her legacy made its way to me. So wanted to honor Ernestine. I also wanted to honor Katie McWatt, who advocated to end housing discrimination and was the first Black woman to run for mayor in the city of St. Paul. Although she did not win, she made great strides. So she has since passed away. I wanted to say her name. When I think about Black queer women, mothers of the movement that have inspired me, given me life, I think about author Audre Lorde. I think about trans activist Marsha P. Johnson. I think about Barbara Smith, who was a co-founder of the Combahee River Collective, and laid the foundation and groundwork for intersectionality as it exists today. Obviously, we honor and respect Kimberlé Crenshaw, but hers was very much the beginning, and also was a women's rights advocate, and Ma Rainey, mother of the blues and a queer bisexual person. So again, I'm just thinking about my ancestors on a larger scale, and knowing that I can also turn to them and look to them for advice and care. I've been so into my program that I have almost forgotten that we have words from our sponsors. So I'm going to turn it over to them for a second, and we'll dive right back in.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Stubbornness in riding a motorcycle, that's a bad mix. Like refusing to wear a helmet or speeding. But then there are the stubborn who refuse to lose control, refuse to take a turn too tightly, and who would never miss a rider training course. Being stubborn about motorcycle safety is a good thing. Always wear proper gear. More information is online at motorcyclesafety.org. Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Marissa Anderson at the Cedar Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. Marissa Anderson is on a mission to reimagine the landscape of American music. The guitarist and composer is just as likely to draw influences from blues and country as she is from electronic and drone. Joining her on the stage is Matthew Rahane, a composer, improviser, and Hindustani vocalist. More information about Marissa Anderson at the Cedar is available at thecedar.org.
And we are back. Support for Fresh Air Community Radio comes from KFAI listeners and members. We thank you so much for being here on air with us this evening. Again, my name is Masana's Musings. This show is I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday, and this is our Mother's Day broadcast. We are on the last concept of mothering, and this is going to be focused on our community, folks who are alive with us today. And so another poem that I wanted to gather us around today is from Janata Petrus. She is the Minneapolis Poet Laureate and overall amazing human being. And this poem is called, Can We Please Give the Police Departments to the Grandmothers? I know my grandmother's still alive. I believe that there's probably some of y'all listening out there whose grandmothers are still alive. And I know there's plenty of grandmothers in the Twin Cities alive still fighting and advocating for a future free of violent enforcement. So, without further ado, can we please give the police officers to the grandmothers?
This is dedicated to all the grandmothers, the aunties, the uncles, the caregivers, the elders, the people who witness us and care for us. I believe in a visionary world where we could care for each other first and foremost. And I wrote this poem 5 years ago after Michael Brown's murderer was not indicted. And Michael Brown to me was such a sweet, tender looking boy. And this man characterized him as though he was almost monster-like and was so terrifying. And I thought, you know, if these police are so afraid of us, who can be around us that's not afraid of us? And I wrote this poem. Could we please give the police departments to the grandmothers? Could we please give the police departments to the grandmothers? Give them the salaries and the pensions and the city vehicles, but make them a fleet of vintage Corvettes, Jaguars and Cadillacs with white leather interior, diamond in the back, sunroof top, dig in the scene with the gangsta lean. Let the cars be badass. You would hear the old school jams like Patti LaBelle, Anita Baker, and Al Green. You would hear Sweet Honey and The Rock harmonizing on We Who Believe in Freedom Will Not Rest, bumping out the speakers, and they got the booming system. If you up to mischief, they will pick you up swiftly in their sweet ride and look at you until you catch shame and look down at your lap. She asks you if you are hungry and you say yes, and of course you are. She got a crown of dreadlocks and on the dashboard you see brown faces like yours, shea buttered and loved up. And there are no precincts. just love temples that got spaces to meditate and eat delicious food, mangoes, blueberries, nectarines, cornbread, peas and rice, fried plantain, fufu, yams, greens, okra, pecan pie, salad, and lemonade. Things that make your mouth water and soul arrive. All the hungry bellies know warmth. All the children expect love. The grandmas help you with homework, practice yoga with you, and teach you how to make jambalaya and coconut cake from scratch. When you're sleepy, she will start humming and rub your back while you drift off. A song that you used to have the record of when you were her age. She remembers how it felt like to be you and be young and not know the world that good. Grandma is a sacred child herself, who just circled the sun enough times into the ripeness of her cronehood. She wants your life to be sweeter. When you wildin' out because your heart is broke or you don't have what you need, the grandmas take your hand and lead you into their gardens. You can lay down amongst the flowers, her grasses, roses, dahlias, irises, lilies, collards, kale, eggplants, blackberries. She wants you to know that you are safe and protected, universal, limitless, sacred, sensual, divine, and free. Grandma is the original warrior, wild since birth, comfortable and loving fiercely. She has fought so that you don't have to. Not in the same ways, at least. So give the police departments to the grandmas. They're fearless, classy, and actualized. Blossom from love. They wear what they want and they say what they please. Believe that. There wouldn't be no noise citations when the grandmas ride through our streets, blasting Stevie Wonder, Nina Simone, Marvin Gaye, Alex Coltrane, Jimi Hendrix, KRS-One, all that good music. The kid's gonna hula hoop to it and sell her lemonade made from heirloom pink lemons and maple syrup. The car is solar powered and carbon footprintless. The grandmas designed the technologies themselves. At night, they park the cars in a circle so all can sit in them with the sunroofs down and look at the stars, talk about astrological signs, what to plant tomorrow based on the moon's mood, and help you memorize Audre Lorde and James Baldwin quotes. She always looks you in the eye and acknowledges the light in you with no hesitation or fear. And Grandma loves you fiercely forever. She sees the pain in our bravado, the confusion in our anger, the depth behind our coldness. Grandma knows what oppression has done to our souls and is gonna change it one love temple at a time. She has no fear. So I hope all of y'all are staying safe.
That poem never ceases to amaze me. I think I just wanted to take the time to, give thanks to those same grandmothers that we would give the police departments to, those same grandmothers, aunties, uncles, caregivers, whose homes were always open to us, whose homes had the yummy snacks, the movies playing, their yards were open. And if our parents weren't home, if our homes just weren't the place to be, they were there. Anybody whose parents hosted us when we weren't able to go home over long breaks, whether we were traveling for school, traveling for college, we were on sports trips, like whatever it was, anybody who hosted us in the summer, like when our parents were like, you can't stay here, you gotta go somewhere else. We're just thankful for those people who did that. Giving thanks to all of the mothering figures who ran the community programs to support the youth, support the elderly, Whether that was after school, year-round care in the summer, whether that was through any place of worship, whether it was for athletics, summer camps at the community center. One program that I got to engage with every so often has been the We Win Institute with Miss Titi Beriaco, and just seeing the curriculum that she is a formal teacher has been able to put together over the last 20 years to support Black children, knowing their history and their legacy, has just been really awesome. But of course, we know there are so many mothering figures in the Twin Cities who have done that and who are doing that and more. And I also want to give thanks to the community mothers who are the culture bearers, who are maintaining our history, who are keeping our stories and our traditions alive. And I really encourage all of you who are listeners to do the exact same and thank the ones in your life. We're going to quickly transition to another sponsorship message because they also help us keep the lights on. And then we're going to go into our closing.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Stubbornness and riding a motorcycle, that's a bad mix. Like refusing to wear a helmet or speeding. But then there are the stubborn who refuse to lose control, refuse to take a turn too tightly, and who would never miss a rider training course. Being stubborn about motorcycle safety is a good thing. Always wear proper gear. More information is online at motorcyclesafety.org.
Support for KFAI comes from The Dakota, presenting Ms. Lisa Fisher and Grand Baton, Saturday, May 30th. The powerhouse vocalist is at the peak of her powers when she comes to the Dakota stage. She's looking to define her own path after decades as an elite backup singer, but she's always known she's a constellation in her own right. More information about Lisa Fisher at The Dakota is available at dakotaclubs.com.
Alrighty, I'm Asana's Musings. I'm back for the last time. This is I Love You Minneapolis. This has been I Love You Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. So this has been the Mother's Day broadcast. Our next broadcast will be on childhood in Minneapolis. I wanted to take the time to close with some more affirmations. This Mother's Day, our thoughts are with the mothers of Congo, Gaza, Sudan, and any other humanitarian crisis, and fight for liberation and freedom, to mothers who have lost their lives, to mothers enduring pregnancy and birth in harsh conditions, to mothers who have lost their children, to the mothers who are trying to keep their children alive. We think of you, we honor you, and we continue to advocate for you. To my folks who have been holding space for all night, I wanted to send you some affirmations as well, sending love to all who have mothered themselves. Sending love to friends who mother friends during difficult times. I know I wouldn't be where I am today without my friends. Sending love to the activists who mother the children of the world, Minneapolis and St. Paul. We have had so many activists, and we continue to have so many activists who have done the same. So thank you. Of course, I'm always sending love to Mother Earth, who provides for all of us. I'm sending love to all the genders that mother. The last affirmation that I'll send before I send us out. We say that mothering, especially the mothering of children in oppressed groups, and especially mothering to end war, to end capitalism, to end homophobia, and to end patriarchy, is a queer thing. And that is a good thing. That is a necessary thing. Those of us who nurture the lives of those children who are not supposed to exist, who are not supposed